right, it is time for Milan to return to the Cardi Show. He is here, Milan Talsania, the man behind Fast Time Watch and Jewelry Repair, and our good buddy, our good pal. It's great to have Milan back on the program. Milan, great to see you. How you doing?
Hey, Brent. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure's all mine, and let's get to the great news. Fast Time reopening with Stage 3 here in Ontario. Let's talk to the folks about that, shall we?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Brent. Yes, it's really exciting. We were started to open up our Fast Time watch and jewelry repair locations across Ontario, starting in Stage 2, and really cemented it as of last week. All of our locations are open, including two beautiful stores in your neck of the woods there in London at the CF Masonville Place and White Oaks Mall. And for those listening, if you'd like to visit us, we got great promotions all over the place. Watch battery replacement, jewelry repair, watch and jewelry repair on all makes and models. Visit us at fasttimewatchrepair.com for a location near you.
Get out there in London, support your local Fast Time. And to those listeners that are between London and Sarnia, get out to Sarnia as well. They need your support. So it's
and no appointment necessary. I know we get asked that a lot. So
no appointment. So you can walk in, you can shop, you can get your batteries fixed, you can buy a watch, the team can get it ready for you while you get your errands done. So make it happen. No excuses. Let's get this thing going. So Milan, I was telling the people in last week's episode how you're kind of like the Ben Zobrist of the Cardi Show. We can go anywhere with you. You're knowledgeable in just about everything relating to sports media. So let's talk about what you've been up to the past few months. I know you've been doing some interviews on another podcast, you know, talking to some wrestling personalities, and I know you had an interview with Eric Smith. Sure. Let's get into that. Share some of that work.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Is it okay if I mention the podcast?
You absolutely can. Okay. He owes me a favor.
Yeah, absolutely he does. A friend of yours, Toronto Mike, been doing some fun things with him. Spoke with Keegan, guest hosted with Mike. He's been generous to let me co-host a few appearances. We've done stuff with Keegan Matheson from MLB.com. Eric Smith, of course, talking a whole bunch of sports. And I know you were a one-time wrestling fan, Brent. I don't know if we've got you back on the bandwagon. But it was fun to chat a few weeks ago with Dan the Mouth Lavransky, so who was one of the pioneers of live audio wrestling. I think he was the first, definitely in Canada, to start this whole podcast.
Yeah.
Sort of on terrestrial radio, really, and then online with his program. So. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, you know, just talking a few, like you said, a few different things, sports media with Mark Hepshire, of course, you know, who's been a phenomenal supporter of a Fast Time. So it's been kind of cool. You know, if you told me this a long time ago that I've been doing, you know, sports stuff with Mark Hepshire, someone I think we both kind of grew up with.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, I think the great part is Mike sees your passion and that voice that everybody talks about. You know, you have that voice for radio and podcasting, so he sees that, and I know that's why he brings it back on. And the listeners of his podcast and my podcast, I mean, I know they give him a truckload of positive feedback, and likewise for my listeners, because again, as I stated, you know, you're so knowledgeable and passionate. But if you want to get into the WWE stuff, and why I'm annoyed with it, I mean, let's get into it. It's the problem that I have is with the way WWE has handled things. And I don't know whether it's a stock issue, a stock price issue to appease their shareholders, but it's a whole bunch of dirty business they've been doing with Saudi Arabia, you know, not disclosing the financials to their investors. So they've, you know, kind of screwed a lot of people out of money, and now they're being, you know, held accountable for it, as they should. The releases in 2020, I think it was, you paid Bill Goldberg $1 million and change to wrestle two matches. And then due to that, you, because of the pandemic, you release a whole bunch of superstars. because you bring Goldberg back for 3 minutes essentially to wrestle a match. You let guys like Rusev go. Dean Ambrose, I know he left on his own as Jon Moxley, and he's doing some wild stuff in AEW. You know, a whole bunch of other names that we can go through. Big Show, Mark Henry, you let those guys go. And at this, not that they're wrestling, but they're still legends. You still thought that they were WWE guys at the end of the day, right? And so now you have a product, you know, that's returning to the road. And to me, I'm not excited about it. And I don't know whether I've outgrown it. I don't know whether it's believable anymore. I was watching part of a match a few Fridays ago with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, where Kevin did a spot where he did a somersault. Sami pushed him off the top rope, somersault through two tables. And then, you know, Pat McAfee, who's doing a great job on commentary from what I hear, you know, he's selling that. He's like, oh my God, how is he going to get up? Well, Owens makes the eight count. You know, what's wrong with, taking the 10 count and letting Sami go over there? Like, I just, it's not becoming believable for me anymore. You know what I mean? And the XFL thing rubbed me the wrong way. I know it rubbed you the wrong way with the bankruptcy as well. So, to me, I don't know, Milan, maybe I've outgrown it. I know Roman Reigns is having a great run right now, which is great. And they can't, they continue not to develop top stars. I don't know if I lost here or not. I'll keep going until you come back on. But they continue to
I can hear you're just cutting up a little bit, Brent. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem. Might be my internet, could be yours. Yeah, I'm not sure, but. So they continue the lack of development of top stars, and they wonder why fans are getting annoyed. They wonder why fans are going to AEW, and I'm not a big fan of AEW either.
Sure.
I think it's WCW 2.0, right? You bring Tony Schiavone back, you bring Big Show back, Sting is there. I used to love Sting as a kid, but now I'm just like, you're 62 years old, buddy, hang him up, it's done. I don't know. I don't know whether it's because I work afternoons and I don't care, or, you know, I check the rumors every day to see what's going on, but
for sure.
I don't know. Maybe it's me.
No, no, I think these are all valid points, Brent. And in fairness, like even in our conversation with Dan Lavransky, the whole premise was, are we too old for this shit?
I heard that. You know,
yeah. You know, that was basically the premise really. And we talked about the olden days, you know,
yeah.
Here, but we didn't talk too much in my interest in the past year and a half, and we've spoken about this. I think I it's probably at its lowest ever, and I think it's a combination of things. And I think you're absolutely right, Brent. It's the whole blood money thing in Saudi Arabia, the whole XFL situation, you know, letting go. You're gonna be excited, I think, to know that Bill Goldberg will be returning for SummerSlam, is the rumor in the main event
against Roman Reigns,
against Bobby Lashley, is the rumor.
What?
Yeah.
What, really?
Yeah, that's the rumor. He will be appearing on Raw on Monday. That is confirmed. So obviously it's yeah. So I don't know what they're doing. From a creative point of view, you know, and I know we'll go on to other topics, but from a creative point of view, I think we can say they're morally bankrupt, but I think they're also creatively bankrupt as well. And I think Vince is at the point they're making more money with guaranteed television revenue than ever before, with Raw, with SmackDown, with Fox, you know, in USA with Raw, with the Peacock Network. You know, you're talking, and with Saudi Arabia, I think you're talking about in excess of over $700 million of guaranteed revenue a year without even selling a pay-per-view, a ticket. I know they're not in the pay-per-view business anymore, but I don't know if it's because of lack of fans or not, but even before the pandemic, the product was not firing on all cylinders exactly. So
no,
I don't watch it as closely. I'm like you, Brent. I think I find the off the ring or outside the ring business side of things a lot more entertaining than anything on my television product.
And I'll give you,
I don't follow it anywhere close to what I did way back in the Attitude Era or the Glory Days sort of.
And no judgment, even if anybody does. I just think the one thing you talk about being morally bankrupt is Jimmy Uso got his second DUI.
Yes.
They keep him on television. They don't.
That's strange. That's right? So strange.
You know what I mean? And all apparently they're going to do a program with The Rock down the line, in theory, you know, and if I'm The Rock, you know, what do I have to gain by making one more return?
That's a great point. That's a great point.
He's making $70 million a year doing movies and endorsements and ballers and whatnot. He doesn't need to go back. And, you know, Jimmy,
people forget, remember, Brent, his last match, his last real, real full match was WrestleMania 29. I think that was 8 or 9 years ago against Cena in New York. And I remember then overnight, he was supposed to appear on Raw the next night to start a feud with Lesnar. And his body was just a mess. And I think he's about to shoot Hercules. A few weeks after, they had to delay that. The insurance overruns were just insane. I agree with you. He definitely doesn't need it. It's probably a passion in his heart. He wants to do it. But I, if you're The Rock, I agree with you. You know, but I think the whole novelty and Vince's sort of wet dream has always been selling out Los Angeles.
Yeah,
I think that's not next year, but in 2023. So I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't know if The Rock's morals line up with, you know, coming back. I know they're family, I know they're cousins, but Jimmy needs help. You know, those guys, both those guys, they need some help. They need to get this figured out. They can't keep, I mean, they're going to kill somebody at the end of the day.
Agreed.
And, you know, when they do, you're going to put them on SmackDown in the main event the next day. Like something, a line needs.
No, it's like, yeah, your storylines are more important than what's really going on in his,
it's not life. Right.
And this has been going on for many years. You're right.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, just watch Dark Side of the Ring. For sure. All right, let's get on to some sports media. Joey Vendetta was a guy that I knew of from his part-time hosting gig on Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan. I did not know of Joey Vendetta. You may have through, I think, Live Nation, his work there. Sportsnet gives him a show on Saturdays. Sorry, Sportsnet 590 The Fan gives him a show on Saturdays. 12 to 3, which I think is a weird spot. And to be honest, when that announcement was made, I was kind of pissed off because you got, you know, a lot of young talent, Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg, Sho Ali, Travis McKenzie. I don't think he works there anymore, but a lot of those young guys, I mean, that was their spot that Vendetta's taken for 3 hours. I know they have fishing, but I think they called it Sportsnet today.
Yeah.
So now Vendetta hosts a show and tweets out something insensitive on Canada Day, and now he is no longer hosting this show. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, are you glad to see the guy go, or were you a fan of him even to begin with?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was not a big fan. I think what Sportsnet liked about him is his contacts. I think that's what set him apart, you know, with Live Nation. He had some big name guests on, and he's very apparently very in tune with the NHL world. I mean, he had some real, real big name guests on his show, not only from the sports world, but from the entertainment side. I think that's what Sportsnet like. He was the ultimate utility man. You know, we talked about utility, and he's sort of the Rogers Lajoie equivalent, you know, or on the weekend on The Fan. I mean, his comments, I mean, it's amazing to me how people continue to make this mistake in 2021. You can say what it is. It was very Don Cherry-ish, right, Brent? Like, didn't you get that sort of almost in a way? And listen,
I thought Cherry there was more. Fired. I thought there was more malice in his comments than there were Don Cherry's. I'm not letting Don Cherry off the hook for what he said, but I thought Vendetta's comments are a lot more. There was a lot more behind it,
especially with everything going on in this country right now. You know, with just the awful news with the residential schools. I mean, it's just terrible. And for him to make that comment, it's just unnecessary.
Yeah. Right?
It's just, I don't understand where he's coming from when you make those kind of comments. And his Twitter account has been disabled since, you know, then. And I do not believe he's come back on The Fan. And I don't think they really made any, have they made a formal announcement, Rogers? Because other than J.D. Bunkus and Donovan Bennett, I haven't really seen anything other than.
Did Jonah have anything on his side? I thought he did. I could be wrong.
He did. And it's still sort of in limbo that Rogers still hasn't made an official announcement. But I think it's safe to say he won't be returning unless they're just hoping this kind of just
blows out
away. Yeah, after a little while. Stay away right now, and then we'll bring you back. You know, and I think that's where we stand right now. But the fact that his Twitter account is disabled, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's something for sure. Toronto Blue Jays are returning home July 30th. And I wonder, will this be the death of the simulcast? Will Ben Wagner finally return? Oh, some color commentator. I don't care who it is. Ben, doing all nine innings by himself. He's gotta be back, right? Do you think?
I wouldn't hold my breath. I don't. We've talked about this, you know, Brent, or my sentiment is that I think this radio station and the whole radio network for them is strictly an infomercial, and that's it. If you look at what they're doing everywhere else on the other time slots, they're just not investing money into this.
Yeah.
You would hope with all the good feelings, you know, that they'll bring the, you know, all the good sentiment with the Jays coming back to Toronto, that they'll bring him back, but there's still a cost, you know. Right. I don't think, you know, having him, you're going to have to pay now his play-by-play, or, you know, you're going to have to pay an engineer. You're going to have to pay for travel expenses still, you know, if he's traveling on the road, which I assume he would. Right now, I don't Dan anything. So I don't see it, Brent. Maybe a bigger role for him on the radio telecast. I don't think there'll be – this is strictly a financial play, and I agree with you. I think it's terrible. And that's no disrespect to Dan and Buck and Pat and the television broadcast, but there's been numerous occasions where I'm driving home. I don't know the score, you know, and it's a long ways off from the Tom and Jerry days, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is hard. And I mean, you can put all three, Dan and Pat, and it's hard to listen to. And I, you know, I love all three of those guys. I'm a fan of all three of those guys. Yeah. And, it's hard. It's a tough ask. It's not fair to them, and it's not fair to the listeners. And like you said, you don't know what's going on. You know, there have been times when I'm trying to listen and I'm like, what the hell is going on? I might as well just pull up the MLB app or turn on the visitors radio feed to, you know, get an inclination of what's going on. It's frustrating. I imagine they're just as frustrated as we are. And, you know, hopefully it comes to an end. But like you said, I mean, who knows what Big Red there over on Mount Pleasant is going to do. We shall see. another rumor
it
that
just seems so short-sighted though, Brent. Doesn't it just seem so short-sighted? You're spending $150 million on his team. I think you're going to make more free agent acquisitions in the offseason. The way Mark Shapiro was talking yesterday, I think they're going to make some moves here, you know, coming up over the next couple of weeks. It's like we were buying a $20 million home and then you chintz out on the basement washroom.
Yeah.
You know, by not having I don't know. I just don't understand it. These guys are Harvard MBA graduates there on Mount Pleasant, like you said. So they're a lot smarter than I am. But to me, it just, the radio broadcast, their top time slot. So wouldn't you want to use that to maybe promote your other programming throughout the day, people listening, especially as people are in back work? We know radio is such a habit. Sorry, I'm on my soapbox here, Brent, but, you know, because I'm someone who's so passionate about sports radio here in Toronto because I grew up with it.
Yeah.
And just to see, you know, and that's no knock against the talent that's presently on, but it's so obvious that Rogers doesn't care.
Yeah, and I'm... It's interesting. And I wonder if this all stems back to the hockey deal, right? Like that, you know, they bid a shit ton of money to air hockey games. And this thing, you know, I'm sorry to say, is backfired, even with the Habs in the Stanley Cup finals. I'm curious to see, you know, what kind of money they made in the calendar year on this hockey deal.
We're
hearing a lot about Ron McLean, you know, maybe departing Hockey Night in Canada after this year. And then maybe he's staying, maybe he's not. I know he got himself into some trouble with the whole Kevin BX thing earlier. He apologized for it, you know. So do you see McLean coming back this September, October?
Yeah, they've been really quiet about this. Won't surprise me either way, but I think they're ready to hand the reins over to David Ember in September. I wouldn't, or you know, during the next hockey season. I wouldn't be surprised if we've seen the end of Ron McLean. But you know, the whole George Strombolopoulos thing sort of quote unquote sort of backfired on them as well. So you know, they may stay with the tried and true.
Yeah.
And Ron is as tried and true as it gets. But I wouldn't be surprised if we've seen the end of Ron McLean. And then David Ember, you know, I think he's the apparent heir apparent to take over.
Yeah, no, it feels that way as well. Let's talk about some baseball. And you mentioned Mark Shapiro's comments yesterday. I almost got that feeling of when Masai traded DeRozan for Kawhi. You know what I mean? Where he put all the chips on the table and said, let's go. Because I remember my reaction to that trade was, what the hell are you doing trading DeRozan? And now it just feels like one of the core guys are going to get moved for a larger piece.
Are you talking about from the farm, Brent? Like one of the core prospects or someone on
I
the
think somebody on the active major league roster. I
roster?
just got that feeling. I don't know who though. I
You're talking
don't
about like a
think.
Biggio Gurriel sort of situation?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's either going to be Biggio, Gurriel, Grichik. Dare I say Teoscar? Maybe. Maybe. Who do you think gets moved?
You know, the experts put a huge, and I've never understood it, Brent. I don't know if you agree on the whole stat of run differential. I remember Alex Anthopoulos used to quote this back in 2015 before he made the big moves. And I know there were a lot of different circumstances there with him and Beeston sort of on their way out. And you're hearing the same sort of lines now that, you know, this team has one of the best run differentials in the league and it's worth owing it to them and that kind of a thing. So I can see Biggio and Gurriel for sure, but these kind of trades are really hard to make at the trade deadline. You know, what I see happening here, in my opinion, is that they're not going to make 2015 splashes. This front office is not going to do that. I still think that pitching and defense wins baseball games. I know they've talked about Nelson Cruz and Joey Gallo and rumors and really loading up on the offense, but for me, pitching and defense still wins games. They're still a short to me on the pitching front and in the bullpen, without question. I know I'm stating the obvious here. And they got, I think the moves that they'll make right now will be moves that set them up for next year as well. I don't think you're going to see the whole rental play. And you've already seen that with Trevor Richards and Adam Simber. Is that Adam
The Adam
Simber?
Simber,
So these guys are under control over the next year at least. You know, we got to remember at the end of this year, your starting rotation as of now would be Hyunjin Ryu and Alek Manoah. And who knows about Nate Pearson right now? Because Matz is a free agent. I believe Stripling's a free agent. Robbie Ray's a free agent. So I think deals that they would make right now are going to be more for the secondary prospects, you know, your Kevin Smiths of the world and that kind of a thing, to trade, you know, and get players, you know, that can help sort of, but that you still have control over with next year as well. I think the off season's the trade, and the one that comes to my mind is the Boston Red Sox deal with the White Sox for Chris Sale, you know, where they traded a top prospect in Yoan Moncada. And that happened in the offseason. I can see something like that where, you know, one of the Simeon Woods, Richardson, Jordan Groshans, that group could be moved, like a top prospect like that. I don't think they're going to touch Austin Martin,
You
but
think he's safe?
I think so. It would take quite the haul. I mean, you're always going to listen, but it would take quite the haul to get, you know, someone like that. I think right now you're going to see more deals. I'm going to give another example. 2016, I think it was when they traded for Francisco Liriano, and you know, took his salary kind of a thing, and they got Teoscar Hernandez. I think you'll see deals like that where teams want to cut payroll, you'll take a little bit of payroll back, and that kind of a move. I don't think you're going to see the big splash until the off season. I think this off season, you got a lot of money coming off the books, with Tanner Roark's $12 million off. You know, Shun Yamaguchi's $3 million. As you know, Marcus Simeon's $18 million off the books. I appreciate you're going to have to spend money to cover some of these missing pieces, but there should be a lot of money in free agency to spend, and I think they're going to trade the prospect capital in the off season. I think 2022 is the real run.
Do you think, and you mentioned his name, Marcus Simeon, and there's a lot of people clamoring for the team to extend him. And that thought process is interesting because I'm like, I don't think I would give him a 5-year deal. The dude, Marcus is going to want his money. But, you know, when I look at that prospect capital of Austin Martin, Otto Lopez, Jordan Groshans, and for now, Kevin Smith, it doesn't make sense to me. unless you move some of those guys.
Right.
You know, maybe you can give Simeon a three-year $75 million deal. Maybe he takes it, and maybe that makes sense for the team. Do you see anything like that happening, or do you think they're going to let Simeon walk?
I think they'll let Simeon walk. I think he's going to be beyond their reach. Unfortunately, he's been such a great addition to this team, and he's been everything what you could ask for. Veteran experience, veteran savvy with the younger players, an all-star, produces out of the leadoff spot. He's been terrific. I think this organization is going to have to focus every resource they can, or I would say almost overwhelmingly all their resources on pitching, starting pitching, and bullpen help.
Yeah.
In my opinion, yes. Are you a worse off team if Kevin Biggio moves back to second base next year? Maybe one of Groshans or, you know, Austin Martin can play third base, you know, and that covers you're set for the outfield right now. So, you know, or they may sign another Marcus Simeon type, you know, someone maybe who's coming off an offseason on a 1-year deal, a veteran guy, you know. I've always liked someone like Tommy La Stella, you know, put up the flashy numbers like Simeon, but just a high average contact hitter who hits from the left side, can play a bunch of positions. Maybe that kind of guy would come obviously for a lot less, financial outlay. So I can see something like that, but for me, this team, the pitching is critical, you know, and I hated, you know, when they had an opportunity to sign Brad Hand last year when Cleveland released him, you know, for $10 million, you could have had him with 1-year deal left. And, you know, some deals, I think they need another stopper. I think they need some bullpen help, but I know all the hype is on the bullpen and rightly so, with all the blowups of the Chatwoods and the Dolises of what we've seen over the last couple of months this year. But you've got a huge gap in the starting rotation next year. And I think all your prospect capital, your financial, you know, have to be, you know, spent on that. Because even if Marcus Semien leaves, you're hoping that maybe Alejandro Kirk next year, you know, can upshore the catching.
Yeah.
You're hoping that Springer for a full year, you know, you're hoping that, you know, I mean, you can't expect much more from Vladdy, but I think Bo still has room to improve. You know, and that kind of a thing. Your offense, even without Marcus Semien next year, I think is still a top 10 offense.
Yeah.
And I think they'll make moves in the offseason, whether it's through trade, to get at least a third baseman or a shortstop or a second baseman to move, you know, to strengthen the offense. I'm not saying to ignore it completely, but I think so much money is going to have to go in, you know, again, to pitching. Like, I mean, what's Robbie Ray worth now?
At least over 20.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking Zach Wheeler money, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, that's 5 years, over $100 million. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets that. He's been phenomenal. ALE success, high strikeout rate. Looks like he's controlling his walks. He's going to be a very desirable piece.
Yeah.
And the only other top starting, you know, pitching prospect, but free agent out there is Marcus Stroman. And I think that ship has sailed.
I don't think he's coming back to Toronto. No. I don't know. Just a feeling I have.
Right. So you're gonna have to make moves and trades. And that's why the Chris Sale thing sort of comes to my mind. That's sort of a deal, you know, and I can't think of who's out there, who's available right now, who's got some control. You know, they've talked about Luis Castillo in Cincinnati, someone like that. For me, Brent, I need someone, if I'm the Toronto Blue Jays, with American League success. Yeah. I think it's so critical, and preferably American League East success, but definitely American League success. We've seen how tough this division is. And I think when you're trying to get pitching, young pitching prospects that you can control, you're going to have to give up. And I think that's where the focus needs to be.
Yeah. I want somebody who owns the Rays, like who could just dominate them. 0.39. Castillo is interesting.
Yeah.
But the problem is the Reds are playing really good baseball right now.
They are.
So you can't really say Cincinnati's going to be a seller. Maybe in the off season, who knows? Yeah. I don't think they want to rebuild. They got a lot of good parts there, but if Castellanos leaves, maybe, who knows, right?
But they've got a lot of money tied up too, and they're not an organization who's been spending left with Joey Votto. Yeah. Isn't Mike Moustakas? They still owe him a ton of money too.
And Moustakas is still on that team too. I mean, I know he's been injured, but I mean, that's another interesting.
Castellanos got a big pay, you know, thing too. Yeah. So big salary as well. So, and I think Castillo is eligible for arbitration, and that's maybe time to move him, and I'm sure the Jays will be very interested.
Oh, yeah,
But
I
we
think.
need a lot of pitching help. You got a number one and a number four or five. I'm putting a big question mark on Nate Pearson because he's so vital, Brent. Like, he's so vital to this organization. But he hasn't, I mean, what do we expect from Nate Pearson next year? I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, in terms of this year, I mean, he will come off the IL one more time, at least. Do you just say, screw the starting thing, let's bring you up to the bullpen? I mean, that's what they did with Sanchez in, I think it was 14 and 15. Do you say, hey, you know, let's bring you up. Let's see what you can do in those late innings.
That's a good point, Brent. I think with his injury history, I don't see that happening. You're talking now about pitching on multiple days, maybe multiple innings. I think he's such a prized prospect who's probably, I'm sure, mentally shaken up with everything that's going on lately.
Yeah.
You saw it, that one start in Houston where he just looked like a deer in headlights.
He did.
You know, and I think at this point, I wouldn't even expect him to be a part of the Blue Jay the Major League team anyways, for 2021. I think the number one focus has got to get him healthy. Because these groin injuries, I think that's what it is, Brent, that these are worrisome. These are nagging injuries. These are not always one-off. So I think they got to focus on that, get him healthy, get him in the right frame of mind, and 2022 should be, you know, spring training. That should be the target, in my opinion.
It's a great way to look at it. I just hope that he can continue his career as a starter. I think that's the one thing that worries me. You know, I mean, you remember Dustin McGowan. You remember all the hype that came behind him and his you know, his high velocity and whatnot. And eventually he was an average reliever,
right?
You know, at the end of the day. So we hope that, you know, Nate can get healthy and, you know, can get right. Maybe he can scale some things back a bit.
Well, Brett, the list is endless, right? Yeah. Dustin McGowan, Brandon Morrow, Marty Jansen, if I go way back.
Oh, yeah, that's
you know, Justin Nicolino, remember? Like, other than Syndergaard, Sanchez hasn't really panned out, and Nicolino, I don't even know where he is right now. You know, the moves they made in 2015, Jeff Hoffman was supposed to be a stud. Daniel Norris.
Norris is
he's been serviceable.
Yeah. Matt Boyd too. He's been serviceable, but he wasn't high on anybody's list though.
Yeah. And Kendall Graveman's turned out to be pretty good too. So
yeah,
and no, that's Liam true. Hendricks, one of the top relievers in baseball. So you could be right, Brent. Like, at a certain point, they're going to have to, you know, and maybe Pearson's best suited for the pen eventually. Yep. But I don't know. I think sometimes I think simplified, or not oversimplified, but needs to be simplified, is that pitching and defense.
Yeah.
You're not going to win 9-8 games in the playoffs. I don't care who you are. And getting Nelson Cruz would be great. Getting Joey Gallo would be great. But I want to see pitching. And I know you're going to have to give up an arm and a leg, but that's what you need.
And that's the one thing too. Like, I don't understand what about this offense needs to be improved. I mean, I understand maybe the catching position, but you know, Joey Gallo can't go behind the plate, and Nelson Cruz is 46 years old. You know, like
he's still raking though.
Yeah, you know, he's still raking, absolutely. But I don't think this offense needs a lot of improvement, right? And said, it is the pitching. I don't trust Steven Matz to take the ball every fifth day. You know, I think he's a left-handed version of Sam Gaviglio, who throws a little bit harder, right?
Sammy G, wow. You
know, Sam's a great guy. I met him once. Super, super sweet guy.
Right.
Ross Stripling, I think he's going to be exposed when teams, you know, look at his delivery second and third time through. You know, his stuff isn't as good. He's leaving a lot of fastballs high in the zone, and they're going to get belted, just like what Brandon Lau did the other Saturday, Friday, whenever the heck it was. So, I mean, you're absolutely right. Starting pitching is a glaring issue for this club. I don't know if Thomas Hatch is going to be the answer. I mean, he was really good out of the bullpen. And I think they have to figure out what the hell they want to do with a guy like Anthony Kay. You know, do you want him to start? Do you want him to be a long reliever? Do you want him to be a left-handed specialist? You know, his stuff plays well. He's got a mid to high 90s fastball. He's got breaking stuff. He's got a pretty good compact delivery. What are you doing with him? So, I mean, they got to figure that out, because Simeon Woods Richardson is in AA and he hasn't been phenomenal. He's been okay, I guess.
True.
And and Klopfenstein and CJ Van Eck and those guys, they're still a little bit of ways away, right? So
Elvis, yeah. Yeah, Luciano, I know. Yeah, they're. I think those are the guys who. Yeah, no, it's true, and that's the problem here, Brent. As you know, is that 29 other teams are also looking for the same thing.
Yeah, it's
You
so
know,
true.
and that's what it is. So I think this is. I see something in the off season. I like your comparison with with Masai and DeRozan, but and the Kawhi deal. But I see it more. Almost eerie to the Marlins deal in a way. Yeah, I don't know about the numbers, but I see maybe a team that wants to shed some payroll, and then you go in. Listen, these guys, the Shaq and Zara has got about 4 years left on their deal.
Yeah.
It's time, you know. You're not gonna have Vladdy and Bo and these guys cheap for too long. The
No.
Oscars cash in big.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And that's the other part. You have
Definitely.
all this money back,
Yeah.
in your bank account. You have to redistribute it, I mean, through arbitration, through maybe you're gonna extend Vladdy or extend Bo, and Vladdy
Would you
deserves it.
extend, buddy? I was having a debate with my buddy about this the other day. Would you give him a Fernando Tatis type deal? Now?
I wouldn't have 12 months ago. Now I'm like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, just the way he is, I can't explain it. I think Hebsy made a great point. It's now becoming appointment viewing for him every time he goes up to the plate, because you don't know what he's gonna do. He gets on base, he's a lot more selective about his pitches. He can get base hits. And he's got power to all corners of the field. I don't know why you'd ever try and shift on the guy, because he'll hit the ball where they ain't, as they say. His on base is over 400. His average is still 340. If he can stay around 320, that's great. Even 300, I'll take. I mean, he's got 30 home runs, and he's getting robbed of an MVP this year because of what Ohtani's doing. And I feel so bad for Mike Trout. People, they love Mike Trout. They know how good he is. But, people weren't staying up late to watch Mike Trout at bat. You know what
Right.
I mean? Or play the game of baseball. I mean, if you came to, the town, you go out and see him, and he's one of the best in the game, no doubt about it. But I feel so bad for him, just because everybody is staying up late to watch Shohei Ohtani pitch or hit, and it's exciting. And I feel bad for Vlad, because he's getting robbed of an MVP. There's no doubt
Yeah.
about it.
No,
Ohtani's
I
the
agree
MVP.
totally.
Send it out now, unless he gets injured. I mean, maybe that's a different conversation. But I'd extend him. I don't know if I'd give him the 14-year deal. Maybe an 8, maybe a 7, but definitely not a 14. But if there's one guy that could see the life of that deal, it's definitely Tatis, I
Oh yeah.
think.
Yeah. You don't think with Vladdy, the whole Prince Fielderitis, you don't think that can come in down later in the career?
I mean, maybe he's just got to stay on top of his body, because
Yeah, that's
you've
true.
seen what he can do.
Yeah.
When he
I'm hoping, yeah, more like a Miguel Cabrera, career arc, a Hall of Famer and that kind of a thing. But the thing about Vladdy as well is that his defense at first has been terrific.
He's only
That's
saved about 85 errors on the
Oh
left
my
side of the
goodness.
infield.
Yeah. Especially with with our left side of the infield, I didn't expect that so quickly.
Yeah.
But it just goes to say, I think we called it, Brent, on your show. I kept referring it to the Edwin Encarnacion thing. As soon
Yeah.
as you move third and you had that one position to play, it's amazing, what that can do for especially for a young player. And that's I hope they're not making the same mistake with Kevin Biggio as well.
Yeah,
Although
no.
upside, of course, is nowhere near with what we have with Vladdy. But
No, definitely not. And I mean, Bobichet's got, I think, 17 errors. If it's not for Vladdy, it's well north of 30. And I don't know how many errors poor Cavan has over at third base. I feel bad for him. I know he's trying to work hard, but they got to figure out a solution. He's not that guy. I mean, he can play there in a pinch if you're screwed, if you got an injury. But to continue to run him out there, expect him to play third base, it's a tough ask. And
And perhaps from this is where maybe I know you keep hearing Chris Bryant's name. The Cubs are really interesting. I know it take the house to get these guys, but to get a Bryant or a Kimbrel or a Hendricks, that would fill in a lot of needs
yeah.
if you're this team. But and I don't see that sort of deal happening. But you know, that's a good point, Brent. I think someone like a veteran third baseman maybe can
Yeah,
help both.
definitely.
You know, rather than putting a Groshans or at third next year. Now you're talking about a very, very young, especially with Simeon, you know, if you move Cavan to second. And I know I'm getting ahead of ourselves here. We still got a lot of exciting baseball to play over the next couple of months, but we know with this management team that they've always had an eye for the future. So, you
I
know,
mean,
I think
as
that
they
could.
should, it works to a point. You saw that's what Gillick did, right? Like Gillick went after young players and he, let guys move off. I mean, Bell, Byerfield, Mosby, and Tony Fernandez, obviously. And, you remember how vital Tony Fernandez was in those trades. I mean, those trades don't happen without Tony. And I'm gonna go, I know it's kind of a stretch, but I don't think they win 93 without him.
With Tony.
Without Tony, no,
Oh,
without
well,
what he
you're talking
did.
about my favorite baseball player of all time, so I'm super biased here. But yeah, one of the great steals, Fernandez for Dick Schofield, was it? Was it in
Yeah,
90?
oh, Dick Scully was injured. I don't remember who they sent the other way to
Yeah.
the Mets. So maybe I should figure that out.
Yeah.
But to me, that's a
I agree with
jersey.
you. I agree with you. He really brought a sense of calm to that team, you know, and that was such a phenomenal team, you know, but for sure. And no, it's gonna be a fascinating couple of weeks. Like to be a Toronto area sports fan right now, Brent,
It's a lot of
it's
fun.
really interesting what the Jays are gonna do, NHL free agency, you know, and what the Leafs are gonna do coming off their debacle, and then you got the Raptors picking fourth in a couple of weeks. So it's gonna be when the Jays coming back to town as well. It's gonna be, I think, a heck of the next 3 4 weeks.
Oh, it definitely is. I can't wait to see how Kyle screws this season up. I did say that aloud. Yeah, I did. Oh, sorry, Kyle. Not that you're listening, but can't wait to see that. And yeah, baseball trade deadline's coming up. I'm excited. And
What do you think they do, Brent, over
you
the
know
next 2 weeks?
what? I think they grab a starter. I do, and I think they're gonna grab a bullpen piece, but I don't think it's gonna be a Kimbrel. I think it's gonna be more like a Michael Givens
Right.
out of Colorado, a guy that got AL East experience.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think the ninth inning is the problem right now. I mean, you've seen what Romano can do, right? He's a lot like Giles. He throws a hard fastball. He's got two good sliders. The fact that Jordan Romano was not an all-star is a crime, in my opinion, because he's had a really good year. I don't think the ninth inning is the problem. I think the bridge to the ninth inning is the problem. So you get John Axford back, and you hope John Axford can be something. You get Michael Givens or somebody like that. And then you got Simber and Baraki. Hopefully he stays healthy. Tim Mayza's been pretty good. I think you sent Tyler Chatwood to Dunedin, low A.
Not a
Rebuild
fan,
him.
not a fan. Yeah.
I wonder though if Tyler Chatwood's career is done because of
Yeah.
the lubricants on the baseball, right? Like, is he
Right.
one of those guys? And we're gonna find out, who the real pitchers are and who are the guys who needed those substances to get by
I
are.
wouldn't be surprised to see him DFA'd. Yeah, I
As
wouldn't
he
be.
should be. You show up, Milan, if you had an employee that constantly called you out and challenged you and got mad at you for whatever and whatnot, you can is behind. I know you would. If you had somebody like me, you'd be like, see you, bud. See you later. Have fun, right? Like
You got to be a
that's
team player. Exactly. You're right. And especially if you're not performing well, you can't. I know they stuck up for him saying, Montoyo stuck up for him. But yeah. When you're not producing,
You
yeah,
gotta go.
you got to go.
It's a results-based
Then you have the
business.
attitude on top. Yeah, it's not a good combination.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's a bullpen piece. I think it's a starter. I don't think it's a number one guy. I think it might be another lottery ticket, like what they did with Robbie Ray. But I don't think Steven Matz and Ross Stripling are in the rotation at the end of the year. But could be
I've
wrong.
been pleasantly surprised. Let me do say that. Let me say this: that the starting rotation has hung in there.
They have, absolutely.
So far, I was scared. You know what? Back in spring training, I think we talked about it. I didn't know how they were going to make it out. But wow, so far Stripling's been really good. When they made that adjustment with the pitching whisperer, Pete Walker. Matt's is Matt's, but and then Manoah's come out of nowhere a little bit. I don't think anyone saw this coming this soon.
Yeah.
He was more down the line. I do worry though, and the other thing we also got to discuss is that or not discuss, but they think about if you're the Jays fan, is that the innings count, right, for Manoah.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good
You
point.
know, he's getting up there too. So you got to be
Is
careful with this. You
you
don't want to
do.
be Aaron Sanchez, you know, not to say that was an innings issue. I know there's blisters and other issues, but boy, like we talked about the so-called great pitching prospects of yesteryear, it can go south in a hurry, and that
Easily.
would
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I mean, well, that's definitely something to keep an eye on. And maybe they're thinking about that. Maybe, they're going to get another guy that can soak up more innings. And it's going to be a fun 13 days to the deadline, because remember, you
Yeah.
can't make trades after July 31st, right? So
Right.
credit to Ross. He's engineered some really good deals. I really like the Simber deal. And I really like this Trevor Richards deal. What they got for Tellez, which
I agree.
Tellez, I said a couple weeks ago, he's a 4A player, right? And for what they got for him was outstanding. He's done a really good job, and it's an exciting time, like you said.
You're gonna go catch a game, right?
I don't know about that. I don't know if it's going to be in my wheelhouse, number one, because I think tickets are limited and tickets are going to be pricey. And B, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready yet to, sit with 15,000 people and
Really,
travel
yeah?
again.
Okay.
I don't know. Are you?
Oh, I'm ready.
You're
I'm
ready.
ready.
Good for
Yeah.
you. Good for
Yeah.
you.
Yeah. I don't know when I'm going, and like you said, the ticket pricing may no, I'm excited. It's so I miss baseball so much. You know, they get what 670 days, I think Shapiro's
Oh,
mentioned.
we were at the last game in 2019. So
Wow.
it's
Wow.
been a while. It's been a while.
Dustin Smoke's final game. That's how long it's been.
That's how long it's been. Yeah, I remember. I don't even remember who they played.
Tampa Bay, 8-3. They beat him.
Oh, Tampa Bay. Yeah. I've seen so
Yeah.
many Jays Rays games, it's friggin' ridiculous.
Yeah,
I
mostly I think
swear.
in heartbreak, right, Brent?
Yeah. Even on my birthday last week, it was a
Oh,
Jays Rays game, right? So it's
happy
just
belated. Happy
thanks, buddy.
belated.
Appreciate it. But yeah, no, it's going to be great. And I guess before I let you go, I mean, Fast Time once again reopened all your locations, which is exciting and great. Talk to the people one more time about what they can get from Fast Time watching jewelry.
Thanks so much, Brent, and I really appreciate your support over these years. You've been phenomenal, and to see what you've done with your program has been awesome.
Thank you.
So thank you again. So yeah, everyone listening there, visit fasttimewatchrepair.com. We have 11 locations across Ontario, and like you mentioned, Brent, locations in the London area there, in the White Oaks Mall, Masonville, and in Sarnia, in the lovely Lambton Mall. And it's great to be back. It's been quite the year. I mean, we want to thank all our customers for supporting local. And again, visit fasttimewatchrepair.com for a location near you.
Yeah, and follow Malone on Twitter at FastTimeWJR, and I'm sure you guys have other social media platforms that I'm not privy to, but go out and do that. And if you're in Sarnia, go to Global Donuts, get a nice apple fritter, and then hit Fast Time in Lambton Mall. And especially if you're in London as well, I mean, there's no reason why you can't hit up the food court while Fast Time's changing your watch battery. Same thing in Masonville. You can go to the rec room, play some video games while the team at Fast Time is looking after you. Woo, watching truly repair needs. I almost dumped my microphone. Milan, thank you as always. I always appreciate your time and support on this program. And we'll chat down the line soon.
Thanks a lot, Brent.
Milan Telsania from Fast Time Watch and Jewelry Repair. This has been the Cardi Show. Talk to you next week.